Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Missouri is home to many cultures and cuisines, from indigenous peoples to members of various diaspora communities. And while that's true for all of America, the combination of Missouri's climate, vegetation, and personality makes the recipes in the new cookbook, Missouri Comfort, Recipes, Places, and Food Traditions in the Show Me State, special. Here to talk about Missouri Comfort are its two co-authors. First, we have Chef Matthew Unger. Welcome, Matthew.
Thank you for having me.
And we also have Portia Moran Murphy, travel writer and food writer. Welcome to you as well, Portia.
Hi, thank you.
So, Matthew, let's start with you. Now, many books tell the stories of the diverse cultures found across Missouri. Where, though, did the idea of this Missouri Comfort cookbook come from?
Well, my career, my past has kind of morphed into comfort food. So, in fact, my restaurant that I owned was comfort food with a twist, was our tagline. Now, it wasn't all Missouri comfort food, but when we were thinking of Missouri and kind of what makes up all the food in Missouri, we thought that this would be a good starting place.
Mm-hmm. What does comfort mean to you?
I mean, it can mean a number of different things to a number of people, but I think it's just the food, as far as comfort food, the food that you grow up with, the food that, you know, you feel comfortable eating at home with mm-hmm. friends. Anything that gives you that kind of comfortable, relaxed feeling.
Mm-hmm. Now, Portia, how is it that you got into the mix with this book?
Well, I've been a travel and food writer for many years, and I had written an article for Missouri Life magazine about butcher shops around the state and how that was kind of growing in popularity. And Josh, who owns the publisher for the book, and Matthew reached out to me. They had read the article, and they kind of asked me to join the project and provide some context around the recipes, a little bit of history, and kind of just give some backstory to bolster the recipes in the book.
Mm-hmm. And we just heard Matthew talk about what his understanding of comfort is. Do you share the same kind of definition? And is that part of the reason you decided that this is a project that you wanted to work on as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I love food. I love writing about it. I love eating it. So it always brings me a lot of joy. And, you know, food is something that you enjoy with your family, with your friends. You can even meet new people around a table sharing food and drinks. So I think there is a lot of comfort that comes from food. And then obviously the food that's rooted in Missouri's history, I think it brings some comfort to think about some of the traditions and just how people over the years have enjoyed these same dishes and found so much pleasure in them.
Mm-hmm. Matthew, you are the chef of this duo. How long did it take to gather the recipes that are in this book?
You know, it's funny. A lot of the recipes were already developed. A lot of recipes from the restaurant or family recipes that I've already had. But to transition them into the recipes in the cookbook, mm-hmm. It took about 2 years.
Yeah.
Some of grandma's recipes were a pinch of this and a handful of that. And you kind of have to translate that into a half a cup or a teaspoon or what have you. So it took a minute to get them all together, but I had a good idea of the bones, the structure of what we wanted to do in the book mm-hmm. from the very beginning.
Portia, as you were working on the histories that are in Missouri Comfort, as you were maybe looking at the recipes that Matthew had, was it already very obvious to you how to approach how to present those histories of different people and cultures across the state?
Honestly, not really. That was a challenge for me, just to figure out how to take all of this this rich culture and all this history and put it into a condensed, you know, book when there's just so much to cover. So it was a little bit of a challenge to figure out how to make sure we covered all the entire state, and figuring out how to put all of his recipes into different categories that would really resonate with people and kind of show the expansiveness of everything that Missouri has to offer. But kind of once I figured out that format, it made it, it was kind of like I was on a roll and could really get into the book.
Right. So something that I like and noticed about Missouri Comfort is how much appreciation is shown to local farmers and artisans, and the way that individual cultures are highlighted. And it starts with indigenous people in Missouri. Is that something, Portia, that you felt was important to do to make sure that history came first?
Yes, definitely. I mean, obviously, our local farmers are such an important part of us having this like fresh, delicious food that we get to enjoy in Missouri. So I definitely wanted to highlight them and make sure that people realize that there's so much good food that we can buy in our local neighborhoods and areas. And then being able to highlight indigenous people and enslaved Africans and the contributions that they contributed to Missouri's food culture and how it's still kind of seen with what we have today, that was really important to me, to make sure that those voices that aren't always elevated were mentioned in the book.
And Matthew, for your part, the order of recipes that are in the book, what was it, what was important to you to include in all of this, sort of from the chef side of things?
Right. I think the core of the entire book is that every recipe touches Missouri in one form, whether it was grown here or whether it is a recipe from here or whether it was a recipe maybe brought from Eastern Europe and developed here and morphed into a new recipe because of what we have to offer here in Missouri that maybe they didn't have in Germany, or we had to substitute a specific product. So, yeah, I think just the core of what makes Missouri food Missouri. So, you know, there's chapters on ethnicities. You know, I just mentioned Germany, but there's, you know, Italian settlers, there's English settlers, there's Irish settlers, but then there's also, you know, a lot of food that's grown here that we use in recipes, whether it be soybeans or corn or morel mushrooms. And then there's a lot of recipes that were created here, whether it's the barbecue from Kansas City or the barbecue on this side of the state in St. Louis, or, you know, we talk about toast raviolis and gooey butter cake and pork steaks, all recipes that are from Missouri that we have to include in a book if it's about Missouri comfort foods.
You mentioned German recipes at the beginning. Is there a recipe in the book that is German Missourian?
I think that all the recipes, and we have, you know, 8 to 12 recipes per chapter. And, you know, to hit on Germany, for example, we talked about Hermann, Missouri, and the big influx of German settlers in Hermann. And we talk about a number of the restaurants there and what to expect. But I think what you notice is they're not traditional recipes. So the schnitzel and spätzle recipes, you know, we're going to use what we have here, which is an abundance of pork. So you have more pork rather than veal in that recipe. So are they specific to Missouri? No, but they're, if you will, German recipes or Italian recipes that have morphed by coming into this area.
Mm-hmm. Portia, are there any bits of history that you learned and that you find yourself sharing because of the work that you've done with this book, foods that maybe also that you have enjoyed that you had not had before?
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely some things that I learned while I was doing this book. Like I said, I have been writing about Missouri food for quite a while, so there was a lot that I was familiar with, but I definitely learned a lot about, more about, like, the Italian food and the French culture. I was more familiar with, like, the German influences, so that was neat to learn. And then just learning about, like, more of the local farmers and what people are doing today and kind of the, like, how much beef production we have here and pork production. So those were some things that I learned. And it was, you mentioned the recipes that I enjoy in the book. I have had the great honor of actually trying the recipes from Matthew. So he cooked some of the recipes in the book for myself and other people on our team. So I got to try, like, the burnt-ins, and he has a grilled Caesar salad that was amazing. I'd never had that before. I'd never even heard of that, and it was so good. And the sour cream cucumbers that are in the book, those are really great, and they're really easy to make as well. So I like, you know, things that taste great and that are easy. So those are a few that I really enjoyed that I got to have directly from Chef Unger.
Portia, you really hit the nail on the head there with the recipes. You know, I would say every recipe in the book is approachable, even for beginners. With that said, a tenured chef would enjoy the book as well, or the recipes as well, because it gives an idea or a starting point that they could morph that recipe into their own. But it really is a good idea of where to get recipes that you wouldn't normally think of.
Right. We're speaking with Matthew Unger, chef and co-author of Missouri Comfort, and Portia Moran-Murphy, travel and food writer and also co-author of Missouri Comfort. So there's a recipe in Missouri Comfort for a dish that our producer Maya Norfleet calls iconic, and that is the St. Paul sandwich.
And I heard something very bad about you earlier.
Yes, so please go ahead.
You've never had a St. Paul sandwich.
No, I have
not.
Have
you been in St. Louis for 10 years?
Yes, so I've lived here just over a decade, and it is iconic because it's really only found in the St.
Really
Louis
is.
Area, Chinese fast food restaurants. And I will say, when my friends found out that I was moving here, they told me that they wanted me to try the St. Paul sandwich and report back to them. So it is, it's egg.
Yes.
And what else is in it?
It's basically egg foo young on a sandwich. So, you know, you can put whatever fillers you want on it, whether it's chicken or pork or I love bean sprouts in mine. And then they put it on white bread with mayonnaise, lettuce, and tomato, and that's your sandwich.
And it's the kind of bread that you can, like, you could ball up.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's not, we're not going for nutritional value here in this bread.
Right. And so what is the appeal of this sandwich? Portia, have you, I mean, you've had lots of food in Missouri. Are you also someone who has had many St. Paul sandwiches in your day?
No, I have to confess, I'm in the same boat as you, that I had never even heard of the St. Paul sandwich until I started working on this book and Matthew showed the recipe. So, yes, it was a new thing for me.
Okay. So,
well, I've had one, so at least one of us has had one.
Right, right. Well, I think I will be trying one either today or tomorrow, so I can report back about that. Now, are there any dishes, you know, that did not make this edition of Missouri Comfort, Matthew, that would be among, you know, shoe-ins maybe for a future edition?
There were the one that I've heard the most about was the meatloaf recipe from the restaurant. A lot of old customers, I guess they're not old customers, previous customers of the restaurant, really enjoyed that recipe. And so that did not make the cut, but probably will going forward. And, you know, if we do decide to do another book, you know, I think we'll focus more on day parts. So mm-hmm. breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, desserts, so forth, rather than how we laid it out this time, which was regions, ethnicities, and specific food like barbecue or food that's indigenous to Missouri.
Mm-hmm. So the process of selecting the recipes for this book, how did you go about doing that?
It's funny, it kind of morphed. When we originally came up with this concept, we were going to get a lot more input from restaurateurs and maybe even have them submit recipes. However, giving the lack of time that a lot of these restaurateurs or chefs have, we basically kind of morphed into this. Once we had the chapters done, we knew about how many recipes we wanted to do per chapter, which was 8 to 12. And we may have snuck a few extras in on a chapter or two, and there might only be, you know, 6 or 7 in a chapter or two. But the idea was, you know, we really had to find some recipes under that subtitle that were influenced by Missouri.
Mm-hmm. So, Portia, I am curious, because you said that you have not had the St. Paul sandwich, and you did say that you tried many of these dishes that are in the book thanks to the culinary skills of Matthew. Have you made any of the recipes that are in the book, and which ones did you try and maybe share with other people?
Well, I don't really have a lot of time to cook, honestly, so I'm really looking forward to working on some of these over the holiday season, and I'm hoping that a lot of people that get the book will also do that as well. There's some recipes like the bourbon bread pudding. I'm really excited to try that, and I think that would be great for, like, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas. The candied walnuts are another one that I'm really excited about, because I always love to get like a bag of candied nuts at like different fall festivals and things. So those are two that I'm definitely wanting to do at home. And I can kind of have more time to just enjoy time in the kitchen.
So one of the things that occurs to me, I have spent a lot of time living in many different places. And there have been times when I have craved something that is from home, and specifically not necessarily from a region, but something that I used to have at home with my mom, my family. Are there any recipes in here, Matthew, that capture some of, you know, what it is you grew up eating and really encapsulates what that family and home connection has been for you?
Sure. A lot of the dishes actually are from my childhood or growing up. My father's family was from Austria, and my mother's family was from Ireland. So a lot of the Irish or German-influenced dishes are from my childhood. Beef stroganoff, for example, would probably be the one that sticks out.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma used to make that, and it was one of my favorites. When I was a young lad, I would call it meat stroganoff, not beef stroganoff, but that was one of my favorites. But even like the chicken paprikash, which grandma would call cream chicken, you know, we didn't know it as paprikash necessarily. That's just how she made it. It was a family dish. And then the on the flip side, the Irish soda bread really hits home for me. It was, mm-hmm. I remember St. Patrick's Day every year, grandma would make a loaf for the whole family and then make a separate loaf just for me.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know what that says about me, but I really always enjoyed that bread.
Mm-hmm. Now, the final section of Missouri Comfort is titled The New Era of Eats, Missouri's Evolving Food Scene. And in it, several foodie and critic favorites are listed, and that includes St. Louis's Menu Rui, Rated Test Kitchen, Sweet Art Bake Shop and Cafe, and Mescarem. Now, this section is also where you both make a statement, Missouri's food scene is worthy of national attention. So, Portia, I mean, what do you think people who see Missouri as flyover country are missing when they ignore or perhaps dismiss this state's food culture?
I think people are really missing out if they underestimate what Missouri has to offer for food. I mean, I think just looking at the cookbook with all the different cultures and like kind of global influences that we have here, I think people don't realize that we can kind of almost tour the globe without leaving Missouri as far as food is concerned. And I think a lot of people think about barbecue in Missouri, which is obviously something that we're really proud of. But we also just have so many cultures represented here. And then, as I talked about in the book, just some of the national awards that we've won. There's world-class eateries here, and I think it's definitely worth exploring. And I think even people that live in Missouri don't necessarily realize all that we have to offer and all the creativity and the innovation that's happening. So I'm hoping that when people get this book, that'll really encourage them to get out and explore, not only just in the kitchen making these amazing recipes, but also jumping in their car and driving around the state or just driving around their city and trying all these great restaurants that we have.
Mm-hmm. So this is the last thing that I want to ask each of you about. In the introduction of the book, there's a sentence there, a couple of them. It says that this is not just a cookbook. It's a love letter to the Show Me State's culinary soul, an invitation to grab your apron, sharpen your knives, and set your GPS for delectable discoveries. So there isn't a whole lot about beverages here, but from each of you, I'd like to know, what Missouri comfort suitable drink should I sip as I make dishes in this book and read about Missouri history? Matthew?
Sure. I think beer is a big part of Missouri's culinary history, both in St. Louis with Anheuser-Busch InBev and on the other side of the state with Boulevard. And now we've seen a number of different microbreweries. We just did a tasting down at Rockwell, which is a local brewery, microbrewery here, the other night. And then the wine scene is unique in Missouri. Now, you don't see a lot of wines exported from Missouri, but a lot of the wines that we're making here are very good mm-hmm. and go very well with the cuisine as well.
All right. Portia, what's your recommendation?
Well, we do have a chapter in the book on wine, beers, and spirits. So we do talk about some different places around the state that we would recommend you go to try some different beverages. But for me personally, I like wine. So I love like going to Herman and touring the wineries there, going up to Augusta, which is absolutely gorgeous, and drinking the wines there. So my recommendation would be to pair wines. Of course, we have the Norton, which is our state grape, so that's always a good one for like beef and beef dishes and things like that. So that would be my recommendation.
Thank you so much for those. Travel and food writer Portia Moran Murphy and Chef Matthew Unger are co-authors of the cookbook Missouri Comfort: Recipes, Places, and Food Traditions in the Show Me State. Matthew and Portia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Thank you. The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.